Let's talk to Ricardo. He is from Active Trades. Ricardo, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick.
Okay, on my mind, I'm reading about Italy at the moment, and I've seen some spikes in the yield curve. How worried should I be as an investor?
According to most observers, probably not that much. And this morning on the train, as I was coming in, I was reading about a Reuters survey on the outlook for the euro in 2019. And most people agree that the outlook is quite positive. So this leads me to think that the consensus out there is more on the side of all these issues that are troubling the euro and consuming the investors with worries will fizzle out. So Italian budget should hopefully come to some sort of resolution this issue. Probably not for 2019, but there will probably be an agreement to reduce the deficit, the public spending deficit, to 2% or even below for 2020 and 2021, and that should calm things down. The other big issue as well in Europe, of course, is Brexit. And the impact it may have, not just on the UK side, but also on the European side. And at the moment, although it doesn't look very promising in terms of a favourable outcome, once again, most people out there that are sort of have a good insight into what really is going on behind the curtains believe that there will be some sort of deal. I think the most pessimistic view relates to roughly 25% chance of a no-deal Brexit. So once these worries dissipate, it's quite likely that we will see a resurgence of the euro, and investors' interest will be renewed, and potentially even we could see a complete reversal of fortunes between the euro and the dollar towards the end of next year. Because it's quite likely that by then the ECB will start tightening the monetary policy. Yep. The US situation at the moment is extremely positive. However, they didn't keep any powder dry should things start to go south. So imagine a situation where inflation all of a sudden starts becoming a concern, the Fed will have to further accelerate the pace of interest rate rises. This may lead to a slowdown in growth.
Yep.
Or even a standstill, a small period without growth. And if we combine this with a more optimistic outlook on the eurozone and better conditions in the eurozone, we could see a reverse in the flows and the euro potentially.
Well, the two big themes coming up, we've got the midterm elections in the US, okay, and we've got the price of oil, the sanction with Iran, I think, November the 4th, okay. Now, hedge funds are meant to be betting for $100 for crude oil sooner rather than later, mm-hmm. Okay. The last time we had the crisis in 08, where it was $147, I think, mm-hmm. That basically slowed global growth down. Mm. Okay, are people worrying about that? I'm worried about the price of oil and the knock-on effects.
I think yes. I mean, some countries will for sure be worried about it. For example, emerging economies that import oil will be worrying. But I think one crucial change that occurred between the last time when dollar was at 147 and oil was at $147 a barrel, and now is that today. The US are actually net producers of oil, so they now produce more than what they import. So the impact in the American economy, the net impact of higher oil prices is actually positive, which is a big change from what it used to be. So even though President Trump has been talking about his concerns regarding the price of oil and going about it in an hilarious way, the way he talked about the king of Saudi Arabia, said king, which was very funny. But I think that the wider economy probably will not suffer as much, at least in the US, as it did previously. So I mean, it depends what sort of investor you are and where you're located and what assets.
Well, we talked about India briefly, being that's a net importer of oil.
Yes.
Okay, and the rupee, you know, these emerging markets. We've seen Venezuela, we've seen Turkey.
Yes.
Okay, you know, this it's could have serious implications, couldn't it?
It could for sure. So Venezuela's oil production is seriously reduced from what it used to be, mainly due to a lack of investment in infrastructure. You talked about India, and it's interesting that India is maintaining a good relationship with Iran at the moment, and they're still buying Iranian crude, so they may suffer, but perhaps they will look for alternative ways. I think one of the main concerns as far as the oil industry can look ahead and think, should we be worried about this? They should be worried perhaps in the sense that such high oil prices would make it very attractive for some of these countries to start investing heavily in alternative sources, so in renewables, for example. And this could become a concern, and we could see a massive change in paradigm, for example, in India. And I mean, they're a huge, huge economy. And when you have so many consumers and so many people to look after, yes, it is a concern that oil prices are high, but also is a concern for the producers that such a massive country will switch from oil to something else.
All right. Finally, I've got to ask, what's high conviction at the moment into the end of the year in terms of currency pairs? Anything?
It's very controversial, but I like some stories I've been hearing out there about a more positive outlook for the euro, so a reversing fortunes, something along the lines of what I was touching on earlier, but in the shorter term. So okay. The euro could potentially, should this Italy situation be resolved, could potentially gain as well from some unexpected results in the American midterm election. So if the Republicans are to lose this election and the Democrats gain control of the houses, we could see an impact in the markets there, and then combined with a clearer situation on the European side, that could start the reversal, although it's not very clear.
Well, on that note, I'm going to add on the technicals. It looks like an inverse head and shoulders pattern, which is bullish for the euro.
Yes.
Ricardo, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Nick.